Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What, you
it's
guys
Hancock
hate Christmas?
And Kelly in for
it's the DGS. It's the Dave Glover Show.
And Hancock and Kelly are in here.
Yeah.
With Chris and Amy.
Yeah.
And we have John Jr.
That's right.
John Hancock.
I actually forgot. I forgot this was the Glover Hour. All of a sudden, I thought it
you
was.
Think this
I
was?
Thought it was Friday morning.
It's not Friday morning.
Oh no, we're all sitting in different
Christmas
spots.
Eve. A great day.
It is Christmas
it's
Eve.
It's festive.
Do you have Christmas Eve traditions? Anybody?
No.
No?
No.
Wait.
I'm going to a dinner tonight, but I don't know that it's a Christmas Eve tradition. It's a tradition to get together with this assembly of people, but not necessarily this night.
Oh,
does that make sense?
Yeah. I love it. I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. I love everything that leads up to Christmas, and then I can't stand it when Christmas
it's
is
the
over.
Worst.
It's a big letdown.
Thursday.
New Year's.
Yeah.
New Year's does nothing for me.
New Year's is depressing. It's the worst holiday. Can't stand it.
Particularly New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's Eve never lives up to the hype. Did you guys see the movie When Harry Met Sally?
Yeah.
Years ago.
All right. Yeah. So remember the scene where they're in their tuxedos, and she's in her ball gown, and balloons are falling and glitter's happening and love is connecting. That's what I vision New Year's Eve to be like.
Supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it's never like that.
I've never had anything even narrowly close to it.
I had a couple of really good ones, like a handful of really fun ones, but they get less and less fun. I like hanging out on New Year's Day with friends, like doing a little daytime stuff. That's fun.
That's the key. See, and I love mornings. I love the morning on New Year's Day. So my ideal New Year's Eve is you go to bed at like 10. But then you wake up and you have coffee and everyone else is feeling terrible and they're tired and you have a great morning. Maybe you go for a run. Like I said, you enjoy the hot coffee, go for a walk, you enjoy the morning. Then you come back, have a big breakfast.
Sounds like your morning, John.
Watch the
bowl
games.
Go for a run.
Yeah.
Before you start your day and have breakfast.
And occasionally I have to run to the bathroom. But that's about it. That's about it.
Well.
I'm not a big runner, Amy.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So, well, when was that's because you hurt your knee.
When was the last time that New Year's Day played the role of recovery day for you? Because I find New Year's Day to be one of the days I look forward to because the football's going to be on. I'm going to chill out. I'm going to hang out. But there was a time, college, 30 years old, John Jr., I mean, that, you know, New Year's Day, this was you were recovering from the night of your life.
Yeah, I mean, it's still pretty much a recovery day for me every year, and probably will be again this year. But I look forward and have aspirations to having a productive New Year's Day. Amy, the New Year's Day morning run sounds like a great thing to do.
A great thing to do.
I'm not there.
It sounds great in theory.
It is great. Yeah. Have you ever been in Forest Park?
No.
When the sun is coming up and it's January 1st.
Yeah, I've been making my way home.
And you start to see the orange over the Central West End and Ronja's limp body lying in a gutter. And it is safe. And it's gorgeous. And you think, this is how I want to start my year.
Yeah, that's how I've walked through. I've been through Forest Park trying to make my way home going, is this the right way?
And then I tripped over him because he was...
This can't be right.
No, Raj and I live in the same neighborhood.
I know. You mentioned that.
And we've tried to have an adult male friendship, two single men. I've tried to invite him to do some things.
I try to hang out with Michael, too.
Your demo is very similar.
Yeah, but we've, never run into each other in the West End. But he's always, he's wearing a cool hat right now from a place that I go hang out in. But I've never run into Raj.
So here's, I think this is why. You two should be friends. You could fall
we are
out.
Friends.
You could fall out your window and run into each other.
Totally.
Yeah, just... Mm-hmm. And you should be hanging out. You're both, single guys on the town in the same neighborhood. You should be hanging out, but you're not. And there's always some weird excuse why one of you can't hang out with the other. And I think it's because the dating pool in St. Louis is really small. You guys are competitors.
Well, that would be a good theory, but I mean, I don't know about you, Runge, but it's not like, walking around the West End, there's just women throwing themselves
at anybody.
Yeah, it's not.
Because it's like a Like, it's like you got to find, like I said, it's a small pool.
Well,
you got to find someone.
They don't do that stuff anymore. Now the kids are all using that, what they call Twindle or whatever you call it.
Well, you're thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, where you get on there and you find your, you know.
Tinder.
Yeah.
Tinder and Bumble.
And it's a little box full of women right there.
It is a box.
Binders full of women. Yeah.
And you're swiping them and switching them to the left.
Well,
to the
those things still exist. And, do people still do this?
That's how the kids out there, Michael, are finding one another these
Junior,
days.
Is that still how people are dating?
It's on there. Tinder's kind of, it's out there. It's not really so much for dating anymore, but it still serves its purpose.
It's a hookup app.
Hinge is still going strong.
Hinge.
What we like to call an assignation destination.
It is a temporary partner place. That's what it is. Huh. Tinder. Yeah. I've never used it. I've never used the dating app.
Somebody told me that if you're doing the, what do you call it, Tinder?
Yeah.
If you're doing the Tinder thing, is that with an E or an I?
I.
Oh, okay, good. They give you your stats at the end of the year.
Oh, I did see that.
And so you get, so you find out, you know, like the entire city of St. Louis has rejected you.
You got it. Well,
how many left-hand swipes you got?
So
versus,
what's the good way and what's the bad way?
Huh?
I don't know. Swipe. I've never digitally dated.
Right's the good way.
Right. Swipe, you want to swipe right on somebody.
You want to be swiped right.
And what happens then when you swipe right on somebody?
So they're all different.
Are they notified?
But, yes.
This guy just swiped your thing, and then you kind of get together and hook up? Is that the way that
well,
works?
Well, I forgot which app it is, but
there's
one of
no
them.
There's no obligation.
Do you have to be? Can you make up a fake name and get on there?
I think there's probably a lot of fake stuff on the internet. Please, Ron, finish.
No, I one of them, I think it's Hinge. Okay. Or it might be Bumble. I don't know. But one of them, you can, if you match with somebody, they have swiped right on you.
Yeah.
And you've swiped right on them.
Well.
The woman is in control, and she can either decide to reach out to you or, that's Bumble?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I don't know what Hinge is.
Hinge is just a regular one. Bumble is the girl. Because, like, you don't know
if you've matched unless she reaches out to you.
I think so.
We're not trying to reach out to you with each other. We live in the same neighborhood. We were just talking about getting together and watching.
Well, no, I'm not trying to Bumble you.
And it's impossible to get together with you.
Well, yeah, I tried. I'm the last person to try of the two of us.
Right. Well,
you can't. You can't go Bumble another guy, can you?
So that you could.
I think you can.
You can.
You get to pick who you want to Bumble.
You can Bumble a guy.
You can Bumble a dude.
They have a friend feature on Bumble. It's called like Bumble BFF, and I can't imagine the people who are using that.
No, that's not.
I wouldn't trust. That's the Ted Bundy's up today or all.
That's not what that means.
Ron is on there. You want to Bumble friends?
Bumble friends.
You guys. It's like the old pages, the newspapers that say like white single non-smoking female. Isn't that what the newspaper ones used to be?
Well, that's if you're looking for a roommate, I guess. But they got this other one called Grindr. Somebody was telling me about.
Yeah, Grindr is a. Yeah.
What is that? What's that?
I think it's what it
it's what you were
like.
Thinking.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think there are girls on that one.
Oh. Interesting.
I don't know the answer to that. That's
either.
A good question. Yeah. I don't think so. I think it's just for dudes.
Yeah. I've never even put my name on one of these things. I'm afraid to do it. I wouldn't do it. I don't want to meet somebody that way. But I've watched these young people do it, and it's I don't know. It would be demoralizing.
It's pretty demoralizing. My friend will – she's – it just makes you feel frustrated because you think someone's a winner, and then the people that are available, it was like – a lot of sketchy people in the pool. So one screenshot she sent me was a guy who said his name was Truck, T-R-U-K.
Yeah, sounds right.
And he was biting the collar of his sweater like this, like biting it and looking down at the camera like this. And that was his profile.
Nice.
And she's like, should I say yes to Truck? I said, I don't think so.
No, you would not. You don't want to have
him. Was he hiding his chin or something?
I don't know.
Well, I can relate to that.
I need to see his photo.
But Ron, you and I are what they call unicorns, single men who are employed, who've not married with no kids.
And awesome.
Yeah, but at the same time, while we might be unicorns, there is something weird about somebody who's made it this long in life and they don't have all those things. Like maybe they have some personality issues. Do you think that could be?
I'm sure there's something wrong.
Applicable for you and I?
Yeah, it's possible.
Aim, anything to say?
Don't ask this idiot. She's just gonna.
Jared was the guy biting the blanket.
Wait.
So...
Well,
actually,
that was Truck. Truck was smiling.
Okay.
Truck.
Oh, they're good old
Truck.
Oh
my gosh, yeah. This guy's getting shamed. So somebody is screenshotting
so
this and then sending it around
me.
To be like.
There's Amy. I made one for me.
See, this is what I don't like about it.
Somebody's tooling on
what
you
if,
right
what
now.
What if I
you're
take
this
photo I think is really fun, and then women are just,
Jared
they screenshot
Jared is biting
it.
His sweater.
436-7900 if you'd like to take Ranji or Kelly out on a date.
Yeah.
we'll talk to you. We need to step aside, though. It's the DGS on KMOX. We'll be right back.
Does that sound like Glover music?
That's old Blitzen.
Yeah.
He's on CNN.
Yeah. You know, Wolf Blitzer is one of the few people who looks like his name.
Yeah.
It's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah. He looks like a little wolf.
Merry Christmas, everybody. It's the Dave Glover Show here on KMOX. John Hancock, Michael Kelly, Amy, Mark Scores, Chris Ranji, and John Hancock all here with you.
And John Hancock Jr.
That's what I said.
Oh, well, I wanted to make it clear there were two John Hancocks.
There are two John Hancocks.
So when I was in Chicago, I saw a robo car, a car driving without anybody in it. Have you seen one of these yet?
I haven't seen one in person, no.
Yes. So I saw
I didn't know
one.
They had them up there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was the Google car going around and taking maps or what it was.
Well, even that has a driver, doesn't it?
No, this did not have a driver. There was no driver
was
in
here.
This car.
Okay.
And I don't think it was the Google guy.
And I got to thinking, would I even get in one of those cars? Would you get in a robo-taxi, something that's not? You would, John. You'd feel as safe as could be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a particularly good driver.
You would think a computer driving would be safer than you driving.
Much.
I feel like it's not even about the accident you might get in. Uh-huh. It's about whether or not, okay, like if you have to audible, if you have to, no, don't go this way. I need you to whatever, make this or stop here or whatever. You can't, my understanding is you can't tell it to make a change. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
So you're stuck.
So you're stuck. And I saw this video. There was a stoplight, and these people were in the back seat of one of the robo-taxis, and there was a car in front, and for whatever reason, this car in front was messed up and wasn't moving, and the robo-taxi could not figure it out. So these people were just stuck in this car sitting there because this car didn't know how to adjust and go around it.
Right.
It's little stuff like that. I don't know that I would trust it.
Yeah, no. And listen, my mom would always say, like, imagine, you know, how if you were to die doing something, how it looks in the newspaper the next day. I would rather die the old-fashioned way, which is like just a distracted Uber driver, regular old car crash, human error. Then it's just tragic. Amy died in an Uber. But if Amy dies in a self-driving car, a driverless car, it's a story, and I get lost in the hubbub about, this is Elon Musk, and, this is terrible, and what a stupid human. Why would you trust yourself to a little machine? And that's why I would rather drive in a dangerous cab and die that way than have a slight chance of dying in a driverless car.
Because your mom said that you might be on the front page of the paper in
a just, like, think about
story.
It. Yeah, yeah. I've thought about this a lot. If you're about to do anything, is it going to look bad in the newspaper the next day?
John, you and I have had unflattering stories like written about us in
the
newspaper.
I have a lot of.
Did you ever think that someday they'd write stuff like that about you? And
no.
Okay, yeah, you say that, Michael, but I believe there was what was supposed to be an unflattering story about you, and honestly, I would have put it on my resume. I thought it was a great story.
Yeah, that one did turn out well.
That one made you look so good.
Well, I understand, but I've never had a conversation with I do that politically think, would this show up on the front page of the newspaper?
Mm-hmm.
But I never had my mother say to me.
Well, my mom's not going to be mad at me. Maybe she's like, you remember wrong. So maybe I remembered it incorrectly.
How accurate is that impersonation of your mother?
Have you heard about Amy's birthday party?
Yeah.
At her house. When's your birthday? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't,
so we
it was
were
in
at
the summer.
So at one point we're sitting down eating, and it was one of those things where there were so many people, all of Amy's friends. And he just kind of grabbed a seat wherever. So I ended up sitting next to Amy's mom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is like being in the room with an older Amy.
Yeah.
Shit, same exact mannerism. Like this thing, like, like that thing. It was like, wow. Wow. They cloned her.
Wow.
They cloned your mom, and it's it's unbelievable.
She had a big birthday party, huh?
Well, you?
What?
We're invited.
No.
Oh, I was invited. Okay, never mind. That's
in fact, that was one of the few nights that Ranji and I hung out because
Michael,
I picked him up and drove him.
Yeah.
By the way, we weren't just like 20 minutes outside of town.
Dude.
Pack a lunch, get some food, you know, you need
God's
a pee break.
Oh,
God's country.
You needed to pack provisions.
Which is probably why Ranji agreed to spend time with me. He's like, oh, I don't want to spend all the gas to go out there. I'll go with Hank.
That's
I was
not
like, Kelly drive me out.
How
there.
Close That's
are
not
your,
why.
How close are your folks to a highway that has just a letter name?
Off of it.
Yeah, they live. You could fall off their driveway into one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're out there.
You
I'm
have
telling
to turn
you.
Onto a gravel road off of a lettered street.
If you're if you're going off Highway F, you've got something. You've either got a whole lot of money, or there's not a whole lot going on.
And you would have known about this party if you checked your work email.
Yeah, well, nobody ever.
It is one of the most irritating things about going to St. Charles to me is, you know, St. Charles has grown up. I grew up out there when there was nothing. And now it's this major city all the way almost to the county border. And they're still using the letters as the highways. Like, no, you're civilization now. You, like, need to name it stuff. Like Lindbergh or, now those people, well, they'll probably all name it Trump. But
well, there's already
they ought to name those roads and not letters. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who's already proposed that? It was last
Mary
week.
Elizabeth Coleman,
right.
State Senator from Jefferson County.
Was Nick Schroer in on that too?
I think he's got one.
Also, don't you think though? Speaking of naming roads, the most Kirkwood thing ever is that Lindbergh is Lindbergh until it gets to Kirkwood, and then it's Kirkwood Road, and then after you leave again, it's Lindbergh again.
Yeah.
That's very Kirkwoodian.
Very.
Right.
You can't just rename a section of the road. I do when you give directions.
Well,
it's like it's Lindbergh, but it's Kirkwood Road, and then it's Lindbergh again. Do I have to turn?
Yeah, but there's parts of Lindbergh where it's almost a highway. You can do 55, 60 miles an hour. In Kirkwood, you're
not legally.
You're down to 15 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's
speed limit on Lindbergh maybe it's 40.
It's a little
pretentious. Sure about that?
I think the further north you get, you can let it rip.
I was going to say, because I go up on Sunday mornings in the car, I know I go faster than 40.
Well,
Highway 40.
You're breaking the law, but that's fine.
I think it's a little bit faster than 40 miles an hour.
It might be 45, but I'm pretty sure it's
40. Well, you were authoritative when you said it's 40, Kelly.
Well, I think it is 40.
Well, you're wrong.
Speaking of Lindbergh Road, was Kirkwood Kirkwood a Nazi sympathizer?
Kirkwood?
Yeah. I don't know who Kirkwood is, but there must have been a Kirkwood.
Oh, because of Lindbergh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
This guy. It's Christmas week, Ron.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Sorry.
We do have.
You've besmirched the city of Kirkwood.
No, I'm wondering if.
Besmirched?
No. And Mr. Libeled. Kirkwood was very good at whatever he was. Was there a Mr. Kirkwood?
I think.
No, I think it's named after a tree, right? Like probably like Maplewood and Kirkwood. And
Kirkwood is a tree. You're right.
The Chesterfield.
You're
the
right.
Trees are the Chester trees.
It's a beautiful tree.
Are there chapter
trees? You know, as much as I'd love to continue this conversation.
Oh, sorry, man.
We need to step aside because the news is next right here on KMOX.
This really was the DGS. I could let this song play for about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then start
You
want to
get the feel.
Yeah. Could let it come in.
Yeah.
So something that was rather cute, but also a little interesting to me happened when we were doing the production of our show back in the room. We were sitting around eating some Straub's chicken salad.
Very tasty.
Oh, well.
It's got crack in it.
I didn't get no
never
chicken
had
salad.
Things are going well.
You were offered
over there.
Some when you walked by.
You did not offer me any. You just got it out and said you brought some.
Well, I'm sorry. I meant to offer you some, but John ate it all.
Why didn't you eat all of it?
No.
John, what's
but, I mean,
hell,
we
man?
Went through the whole canister.
Where's your
there
Christmas?
There is some
you
Swiss cheese in the refrigerator.
I don't want Swiss cheese.
But... So Frank Ladd goes walking by, and he's doing this.
Producer Frank Ladd.
Frank Ladd walking by going, whatever he was whistling. And John Hancock goes, that's Bluey. And I went, what? And Frank Ladd comes back and goes, Bluey. Yeah, that's
theme song of Bluey.
So do you know what Bluey is, Ron?
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it, but I know it's a kid's show, right?
Yeah.
Still on?
It is still on. A very finely produced kids show from the great place of Australia.
But the fact that my guy, who, you know, out of the middle of nowhere, just, that's Bluey. And I was like, wow, you really are spending a lot of time with this grandchild.
Well, I can't believe you know Bluey and you didn't know Barbara Ann.
Barbara Ann.
That song. Is that the song he didn't know?
Oh, I know.
No, no, no. He didn't. Not Roxanne.
I know Roxanne.
It wasn't Run Around Sue.
It was. I know Run Around Sue.
No, there was there. Oh, I'm going to think of this.
What was the song that he didn't know that everybody knows?
I was not
knows?
Here. Bar, 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 bar.
Oh, yeah. No, 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 no. Help me, Rhonda.
Help me, Rhonda.
He had never heard Help Me, Rhonda.
Never heard.
Get her out of my heart. That's the Beach Boys.
Yeah,
well,
dude.
Horrible.
You don't know Help Me, Rhonda?
He did not know
it. I can't believe something sounded like that. It sold records.
I made a really great bad joke.
Yeah.
We're talking about, Rhonda something. And I said, did somebody say Help Me? And he goes, I don't get it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, you don't know the song Help Me, Rhonda?
No.
No, I didn't know the song.
How can you not
know
that?
Never heard it before. Well, because I just somehow missed it, Michael.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean that meanly. Oh, my God. Did you see that? He got very angry with me.
It was hurtful.
Johnny, do you know Help Me, Rhonda?
I'm not familiar.
See there?
You're not familiar.
Yes, you are.
No. No.
There's no way you're not familiar with it.
John, maybe, how old are you?
I'm 30.
You should know.
I'm 60. I'm twice his age.
Yeah, well,
you know Uncle
should.
Jesse plays with the Beach Boys?
I do. Yeah.
John Stamos?
He is the drummer for the Beach Boys.
I did not know that.
He's a big Beach Boys guy. The Beach Boys were on Full House. They all went to Florida, and the whole family, the Full House family, and they got to be on stage with the Beach Boys.
And now Aunt Becky's in jail.
No,
she's out.
Out
of jail.
She got out of jail?
Yeah, she's out of jail. She was only there for a cup of coffee.
You
seems
know,
kind of petty what she was in there for in today's world, right?
Yeah, doesn't
right.
it seem like a... I don't know. I didn't follow that whole thing very closely with a college scandal and all of that. But just what I did, it didn't seem like... I don't know.
So
it didn't seem jail-worthy to me, but I don't
know. It happens all the time, and it's still happening. But it was like a big, high-profile case because it was Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, and they could make a big show out of it. Meanwhile, there are other... non-famous parents who have done this as well. It's like backdoor ways into getting into elite universities when your kids are dumb.
Damn.
It is. Wow. It is. That's how you go to Harvard when you're dumb. You think all the smartest people just happen to be from the same families year after year? That's not how it works.
It just reminded me of Chris Rock. He had one of his old specials, and he's talking about taxes. And how he doesn't want to pay taxes for school. He's like, I don't have any kids. He's like, you think I give a crap? He doesn't say that. Yeah. He says, you think I give a blank how dumb your children are?
There you go.
Well, there it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Bluey.
Bluey.
Yes.
I
Bluey.
Just thought it was impressive that you knew Bluey.
Thank you.
And do you also watch Sesame Street with her? Or is
no,
it only...
we don't really. We're not really into Sesame Street.
How about Mr. Beast?
Atula and I. And what?
Mr. Beast.
What the heck is Mr.
Oh,
Beast?
Oh, we talked way too much about Mr. Beast today.
What? And I disagree with you both.
Really?
And I'm gonna make the case here in a minute, but I know
that
John has no clue what Mr.
Beast is.
Covered
all the bases. How can you disagree with us? We offered up all the positions.
Well, no, but I think we are on the same side, you and me.
Okay.
Amy.
Right.
Okay, I thought we disagreed.
Mr. Beast?
Mr.
Yeah.
Beast. So Mr. Beast is the biggest...
YouTube star
in the world.
Okay.
I did not know who this man was until about 2 months ago.
He's worth like $1 billion.
Beast is worth $1 billion.
Oh, yeah.
$1.5 billion just from YouTube, and I think he has like 300 million subscribers or something.
He just did a video with Ronaldo, who's the biggest sports star.
Oh, I know Ronaldo.
And Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I watched it.
Does he have an actual name?
Mr.
Jimmy.
Beast. Oh, yeah, Jimmy. But everybody calls him Mr. Beast.
It's his internet name.
And he does some cool stuff. So, like, we'll get into it in a minute, but, like, he'll, you can... You have this Ferrari if you can protect it. So he'd give you a Ferrari, and then he'd give you all the resources to protect it and then try to blow it up, etc. All silly stuff.
Or
makes no sense.
A guy, he said, I'll give you $10,000 for every day that you can stay inside a grocery store.
Right.
So this guy like lived in a grocery store. I think one was a Lamborghini, was people put their hands on it, and whoever was the last person with their hand on the Lamborghini, like whoever could stand there the longest, won the car. Just stupid, gimmicky.
Yeah. And this guy's
paying
video.
For all this stuff.
Little kids watch it, and they advertise chocolates and other things in there, etc. Well, Mr. Beast has become such a... I mean, his videos will get 200 or 300 million views like that. And so, again, I'm just informed of him in the last 2 months. So he just started the Mr. Beast Games. So now he's moving from YouTube platform... And he's got a big production. And
Amazon?
Amy and Chris, on Amazon. Yeah. Amy and Chris explained it. They're going to have a $5 million prize, et cetera, all this stuff. And I heard the argument you guys were making is that this is fraudulent and they're preying on people's desire for money.
No, it's just it made me feel icky because you can sum up Mr. Beast's strategy, which is brilliant, which is why he's worth $1 billion, is how do you get a show where people do insane things? Well, here's what we know. People will do anything for money. It's human nature, greed, lust for money, need, whatever it is. So he said, here, I'm going to offer up a ton of money. And if the whole world is basically the cast, right? Because you're going to find people who will do anything for money, humiliate themselves or whatever. You constantly have an endless stream of cast members for each episode of the show who are willing to do insane things because you're exploiting human nature. And I get he's making a ton of money doing it. And I made an argument that it's capitalistic because you want money, go for it, try to win my games. I'll make hundreds of millions of dollars and give a lot to charity. It just made me feel icky seeing the lust for money being exploited or even people's needs being exploited, like they're crying because they want to feed their kids. It just felt weird.
And I feel like there's a little, it's not exactly charity, but there's this feeling, it has the same feel as performative charity, where people do things and they want to make sure that you see that you're giving money away.
And I appreciate that argument because I've seen the things that he's done that's related
to that. And there is a real debate, as Amy and I talked about, there's a debate about whether or not it matters what the intent is as long as somebody's getting help, mm-hmm. which is fine. But I can never really, truly, totally get on board with a person who performs charity and then lets you know, look what I'm doing. Look what I do for people.
I'm not going to, again, I've only known this guy for 2 months. And so that's how short my exposure to him is. And I'm kind of enthralled by his videos. And I like it. I appreciate what you're saying, but I don't see anything that he's doing anything different than Survivor does. Yeah. Survivor gets people to do it half naked.
Yeah. But to me, Survivor's a production. Right. It's not one person. It's not like Mr. Beast Survivor. I don't know. There's something about it.
Come on. Okay. Then the real Hollywood Housewives of Hollywood and all that stuff. I mean, I don't think that the lust for money is a new selling product. And I think this guy's getting attention because he's attractive to younger people.
Yeah.
He has ridiculous prizes and money that are there. But and now to take with your point where you're calling it performative charity, I go to my local drugstore and they round up for 50 cents. Round up my 50 cents to the nearest dollar. And at the end of the year, that local drugstore says they made a huge contribution as a part of a major of $3 million. They didn't do that.
I don't like that either.
I didn't do that.
I don't like that either.
So I don't know that the guy's doing anything different. I think he's kind of clever. Here's a 20-something-year-old kid who's made a multi-billion-dollar business essentially just filming stuff.
Oh, it is super clever. And it works, and it's got a following, and it will continue. There's something about him that is off-putting to me. Like, he did this video a couple of months ago where he was sprinting with money.
Uh-huh.
And he's sprinting down a road, and he's like, this is me sprinting with $10,000 on me. And then he's holding two bags. He's like, this is me with $100,000. And then it's like, I'm holding an actual $1 million in bills.
Uh-huh.
And he's sprinting, and then money's flying everywhere. And I'm like, there's just something. Ugh. So, I don't know what it is about him, but
I don't like him either.
Yeah, he just kind of sucks.
To Michael's point, though, because I actually had a really good conversation because I was the wet blanket last night watching with young people and family and teenage boys, and that's who it really appeals to. Because here you have this guy who makes these videos. He's giving away insane amounts of money. He can give away $50,000 just like that. They're impressed because it's his own money. It's not a production in the sense of like a television production made this series.
Yeah,
he did it himself. Yeah. And then, he gave away like $30 million pretty recently, including like digging wells in Africa. And their argument was kind of the same thing. Like, well, Amy, if he's not forcing people to go on the show, and if he's making tons of money, he can then help people. And he has to film all of that because that's how he makes his money, is filming. And I said, I get it. And I took a hard look at myself because I kind of recoil at Mr. Beast. It kind of grosses me out. But I think what Michael said hit the nail on the head. I don't like exploiting greed, lust, stupidity, which is why I don't like reality shows like the Survivor, the Love Island, the Desperate Housewives. And he's kind of exploiting that same vein, but he's trying to do something good with it. It grosses me out, but he is actually, his charitable work is probably way more efficient than any government organizations trying to do work and helping
out. Well, that's everything you need to know about Mr. Beast.
I reserve the right on the guy because I just know him for 2 months, but I've been sucked into his stuff. Now, you do have to have a younger person's mentality for a while. I don't know that I could watch this guy years upon years, but a couple of his videos have enticed me. And I mean, here, you taught me about Bluey. I'm learning about Mr. Beast. I'm teaching you about Mr. Beast.
Yeah.
Gosh, thanks.
Same market audience.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right, that's Mr. Beast. We're done with him. but we're not done with these two. We'll see you, Chris and Amy, right back here after this on KMOX.
Christmas time on the DJ.
Yeah, it is.
Which means Hancock and Kelly are in.
Christmas Eve,
And we will be here for Christmas
Eve tomorrow
as well. I am going to my first event tonight where I am not re-gifting my gift.
Okay.
Oh.
So prior to this, you know, I'm not a gift giver, you know, and I think people know that I try not to be nice all year round, so I don't play the gift game. But a couple of times you're in a situation where
you have to bring a gift.
You have to bring a gift, and it's always like, oh, Amy gave me a bottle of booze, and I'm going to give this guy the bottle of booze. And tonight's my first actual Christmas event that I'm going to with relatives that is not re-gifted gifts.
Well, I mean, it's your mom.
Right.
You were going to re-gift?
No, I would never re-gift to my mom.
Oh.
But I'm saying I've made it all the way to Christmas Eve without having to get
impressive.
An original present.
Got it. That's impressive.
Nice job, huh?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Really impressive.
You know, I bet
Michael?
I bet I could go to my mom's house and take something out of it and take it home and wrap it.
It's
something that I gave her in the past and bring it back and give it to her. She'd be like, oh, thank you. She would have no idea.
That's probably right.
She's so hard to buy gifts for.
Right.
Have you ever re-gifted a gift back to the person that gave you the gift?
No, I've never done that.
I've done that before.
You've
never done that?
Yeah.
What was it?
You remember?
I don't remember what it was.
Oh.
Hey.
And by the way, I don't want to make it sound like my mother is not appreciative. It's just, she's very difficult to buy things for.
I cannot believe
for.
You. It is Christmas week.
Yeah.
You have attacked your mom and Jim Kirkwood.
Oh, James P. Kirkwood is the founder of Kirkwood, Missouri, or at least it's named after him. He brought the Pacific Railroad through St. Louis.
Wow.
In the 1800s.
Yeah, not
so
a Nazi sympathizer.
It's not named, he's not a Nazi sympathizer.
No,
that's
that was Lindbergh. Yeah.
But he did, you know, he brought the railroad, he was an engineer, and the Kirkwood is not named
so
after the
no
tree.
There was no tree.
Right.
There was no Kirkwood
That's why
tree.
They got the train station there, you know, because
there you go.
Kirkwood.
Michael,
big pioneer of the tracks.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys ever
big track guy?
Did you guys ever? And John, maybe you have somebody who's doing this for you. But did you ever play the helper role in Christmas, like Amy, like Dad's Christmas presents need to be bought and wrapped and helped out? So
I'm very little help to my family members.
Really,
now, I'm not trying to be little help. I think they think I'm incompetent.
Yeah,
and they always kind of pass me over. For help. Even our dog, when he has to go to the bathroom, will go to every member of the family and
I
not
think
me.
I may have the same relationship with my family, but I hope they think I'm too busy rather than not
incompetent.
Incompetent. Yeah. They're always like, well, we know you were so busy, so what you need to do is give this amount of money to so-and-so, and she's going to give $20 to her and $50 to her and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they think you're busy. You're a man of the world. No, they don't come up to you like they do to me and go, these are potatoes. Do you know how to peel potatoes? Do you want to peel them? Yeah, I know how to peel potatoes. I'm not an idiot. And they go, no. We didn't say you were an idiot.
You didn't have to.
I know.
John, do you wrap your own presents or do you have a helper?
I got people.
You got elves?
I got people out there.
Yeah.
Are those elves relatives or are they the people at the inside the mall there?
I got people, Michael. Just want to
Does it there. Rhyme with Rorjan?
Well, no, because I got to take care of her. I got to buy her a present, which I've skillfully done.
Are you pretty good at buying a gift for Georgianne?
You just have to listen. You just have to listen.
That's
the art of gift giving is being a good listener. And if you're a good listener, then you kind of you'll pick up on it.
Well, his real secret is that if you have a daughter who is willing to make the purchases, that's how you crush Christmas.
A helper.
I may or may not be in possession of my credit card at this moment.
Oh, yes, that's a great.
Are you certain of where it is?
She's got it.
Okay. If you were listening to George Ann, she's in the blue zone. So what were you going to buy her some like oats and barley?
She's probably listening today.
Oh,
since, yeah. Since number one son is on. But because she usually doesn't listen. If usually day, I could tell you exactly what I got.
Well,
her.
We know she's listening because she said, I can sing every word to Barbara Ann.
No.
You help me, Rhonda.
Set up. Help me, Rhonda.
Damn, dude.
Barbara Ann, same band, this has been, different song.
This has been one of the more enlightening hours of talk radio here at the Voice of St. Louis.
I didn't know about James Kirkwood.
I want to thank Chris Ronji, Amy Marks, of course, for your fine contributions. To
you said you see how he said that?
When we come back,
see tomorrow, John.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be
you
here.
Guys tomorrow. Are you working tomorrow?
I'm out. I've got to cover the new year.
Who you got with you tomorrow?
Brad Young.
Oh, fun. That's and they changed his law firm around. The news is next. Thanks for listening. Next hour, Hancock, Kelly and Hancock right here on KMOX.